We have now gotten to that point in the program where I'm going to introduce an introducer. It's very bad. But we are going to try and get some of the tables cleared off, so hopefully it will serve a purpose. The person that I get to introduce is Michael Castro. He has been with our organization from day one. He was with River Styx before there was a River Styx magazine, before there was a River Styx poetry series at Duff's, even before they bought their first printing press. He was with River Styx when we did radio shows on KDNA, which was a public radio station well before my memory. And he's been with us ever since. He edited the first copy of River Styx magazine. And Shirley, I saw you reading out of those old issues. Keep them. They're very valuable now. There aren't many left. He's the person who was on the original committee that decided who came to read at Duff's Restaurant for the poetry series. And by golly, he's still deciding who reads at the poetry series. This man has power. He has tradition. And he's not that old. He started young. He started very young. But that's my introduction for him.
Thank you. Welcome to Roast the Host. First, I'd like, before I introduce the next read, I'd like to say a few things. And first, I'd like to introduce Karen Duffy. Is Karen here? I know she's back there somewhere. Where are you? Karen, where's Karen? Oh, come on up here. Karen has opened her doors to us. She's actually been here since, you know, before the magazine we did this. She's old. She's got more gray hair than I have. And she's been just wonderful to work with. And there's a lot of people here tonight, but with our expenses, we're probably not going to make any money. We said, well, that's the story of our lives. But it's been a lot of fun, and there's been some good times. I'd like to give Karen a copy of River Styx 24, which is, we have some pre-issues available tonight. This is a special third issue of the year. It's a 12-year retrospective issue, which has some material from the early issues and bibliography of who's appeared in all the previous issues.
She leaves the dining room without moving, leaves you orphaned at the table. No sense from her, no salt from this soggy-headed shaker. A few more bites, and her table will be cleared. And for a change of mood, I too just have a child who departed for college. And I suppose one of the things about writing, especially as a mother, complain, is that you're constantly trying to get free of the babies and the school shopping, and then they're gone, and what do you write about but them? In praise of zigzags for a girl failing geometry. Maybe she does her homework the way she does her chores. She moves quickly when she vacuums, forgetting corners in the living room, repeating others, zigzags recklessly across the carpet, raising those pale tracks behind her in the wool, crossing and recrossing them. And not once does geometry cross her mind. Outside, she wanders aimlessly behind the lawnmower, rolls toward the middle of the lawn, then doubles back. For a while, she'll follow straight lines, the fence, the hedge, the walk, then go off on a tangent, spiraling around the birch or the maple. When she finishes, she leaves the lawnmower out, leaves a trail of unmown strips and crisscrosses, her scribbling on the lawn like a line of thought that's hard to follow. As far as she's concerned, the shortest distance between two points is confining. And another child-inspired poem. To the uninvited. Her party, dear, is the same party that we read about. 12 golden plates in the palace, 13 fairies in the kingdom, there's never enough to go around. Someone makes the list, someone else is uninvited. A wish turns to a curse, a fairy to a witch. You know the rest, the pricking rage, the whole court in its spell, a century behind a thorn hedge to sleep it off, to let a kiss through. Remember, too, taking Sleeping Beauty's side, slighting the witch so willingly. Such an easeful story then, nothing cautionary, nothing real, none of us in it. And then for my last poem for the evening, entitled The Last Visit. This room is full of lies, the bookmark in the book half read, the shoes, the suitcase in the closet. She's not going anywhere. You can tell by the green that fills the weak old water in the flower vase, the bad breath in the room that no one mentions, and by the crooked picture on the wall, the eyes that follow us, the pools that don't ripple when a stone drops. This is the real solitaire, the whole deck face up on the table. No cheating in this game, no laughing off our losses. Should we leave now? They're wheeling carts and stretchers down the hall. Fresh flowers, fresh faces for the rooms. She looks at us, but maybe in this walled garden, she can't tell one face from another, like the sparrows we confuse. Maybe the pain is gone, and she's as peaceful as the carved pumpkin on our porch. The fixed look, the hollow welcome she gives everyone. If there is a moment of truth, which one is it then? The mother in the living room, or the one in this white bed? Tonight, after the rain, there's one moon in the sky and one in the water on the empty parking lot. I don't know which to believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.